My name is Sean Collins. I'm organizer and representative with SEIU 200 United, which is the Service Employees International Union. That's what SEIU stands for. I work, you know, as a union organizer and representative, primarily in higher education employees in New York and Vermont.
Since the pandemic happened, it's just in general in the past year or so, what have you guys been doing in the SEIU?
That's a great question. Yes. What we've been trying to do as a local union and nationwide as well is, you know, as best as possible, mitigate the impacts of the pandemic on higher education employees. As a union, we represent both blue collar workers on college campuses, janitors, groundskeepers, dining service employees. And then we also represent faculty, primarily contingent faculty, working with administrations locally and nationally to mitigate those incomes, to protect jobs, to protect benefits, and to primarily and most importantly, to protect these workers who are all deemed essential workers, and whether they are classroom instructors who have had to transition to remote teaching initially, or those few that whose classes could not be transitioned, they were deemed essential. And then also, you know, janitors and groundskeepers who have been maintaining college campuses since day one. So making sure that they have, if we were successful in making sure that they had jobs, which we have been predominantly maintaining their jobs, is making sure that they had the necessary personal protective equipment to safely perform their job on campus.
What's your biggest concern with coronavirus right now? Is it unemployment? Is it vaccinations?
Personally, I don't want to speak for, you know, our membership entirely or for the union as a whole, but I would say, you know, our concern is definitely with both vaccine production and distribution. Governor Cuomo's current plan includes college professors, in-person college professors, as phase 1B eligible for the vaccine. They're part of that pool. But other college employees, at least as of last I checked or heard, those who have been reporting in person since day one are still not eligible for vaccination, even though that they've been going to work and have been exposed and have, you know, even in many cases contracted coronavirus since March of last year. So that is their primary concern as well. I think, you know, long term is the impact that this has on college enrollments and therefore even the jobs, these jobs and protecting these jobs. You know, by and large, most of our college employees have been working every day since the beginning of this pandemic. There have been, you know, some folks who have been furloughed, take advantage of the expanded unemployment benefits. And so it's a way to, you know, help the college, you know, make its budget while also not really financially impacting our membership too much. But at the same time, there's also been like dining service workers have just been, you know, depending on if they work for a subcontractor, have been laid off and are starting to come back to work, have started coming back to work since like last fall with the reopening of college campuses. You know, at the same time, they have been getting sick because of the increased activity and college students, being young and occasionally careless and also innocent in the whole equation. They're just trying to do the best that they can and make the best of the situation. And that has a ripple effect. And so that's been, I would say that those are primary concerns, is like making sure folks get vaccinated, making sure that there is enough vaccinations produced out there that can actually be distributed and to the right people. And then also, you know, making sure that after everyone is vaccinated, that these colleges are on stable footing so that, you know, our members and other college employees who are not members of, you know, are members of other unions or are non-unions still have these jobs, because these jobs are some of the best, particularly in upstate New York, these are some of the best jobs that workers and people in these areas can find.
When I spoke to Aaron Major, he said that these unemployments and laying off of teachers has been happening for the past few years. Do you know of anything that could affect the long run of these professors and other employees?
Aaron's absolutely spot on. I mean, what we saw in 2008 when the financial crisis hit and had, you know, and hurt, you know, college enrollments and college finances is that when they laid folks off, those folks stayed laid off and those jobs didn't come back and that workload was spread around everyone else. You know, the class sizes got larger, college budgets stayed steer, and, you know, the staffing levels in other parts of the school and you know, in janitorial and groundskeeping, those staff, you know, those reduced staffing levels remained. And that is a concern, is that colleges use this as an opportunity to further tighten their belts, spread the workload. I want to name any particular college, you know, where we represent members at, but locally, you know, one college has used this as an opportunity to eliminate academic departments and faculty associated with those departments. And then elsewhere where departments and programs aren't being eliminated, they are trying to increase course sizes, like say in an English department, going from having 18 students, which is already quite a lot of students in a writing intensive course, and increasing those course caps to 25 students, which is almost, you know, 30-some-odd% increase in the workload, a little bit more than that even. So it's fairly substantial, and that is the concern, is that this is, and you know, this is used as an opportunity to trim what the college sees as, or I should say the college administration sees as, you know, fat, budget fat.
Do you know anything about the budgeting and funding that has really affected this?
I don't fully understand, and I won't profess to be an expert on higher education finances and everything like that, but I mean, the problem with what has happened as a result of reopening of these colleges, but with reducing campus density, is that not trying to reduce the number of students who are living on campus. And that's good, obviously, as a public health measure, but it's bad in terms of the college finances, because tuition, of course, but a lot of the money that colleges make that break even with is, and can, you know, then invest into other programs, long-term projects of a college, is from those residential dollars, is the room and board, the auxiliary services that students take advantage, you know, that pay for on top of their tuition. And so the impact on, you know, lessening campus density in local college here, you know, reduced campus density in half. So going from, let's just say generously, you know, having like 7,000 students living on campus to half of that, and they're not paying room and board, that's had a significant impact. And particularly for private colleges, they're getting some funding from the federal, they have received some funding from the federal government in the form of the CARES Act and other stimulus relief packages, but they don't have the same luxuries as the, you know, private colleges, where they can go back to the state, go back to the governor, the legislature, and be like, increase our funding. They don't have that tax light switch that they could just flick on and off. Just, you know, naming a name now is like, if RPI needs to increase revenue, they go to the tuition, they raise the tuition, or they raise the cost of room and board. But you can only do that so much to fill that gap. And so it's a long-term, you know, concern. But I also think there's a lot of aspects of higher education that are counter-cyclical to what we see in the economy. And so there's an element that that might, you know, that's what happened after 2008, is after the housing crisis and everything like that. Like, you saw more students go to college. So we might see that happen again, where it's easier to go to debt, wait to see what the job market, you know, get an education, get more higher education, and see what the job market is afterwards. And so we might see that again, but because it's what we've seen in the past, but who's to say?
I know some private colleges have just got rid of a bunch of programs. Do you know of any way that they can, besides raising tuition, like you said, do you know of any other way that they can ask possibly Cuomo or the Biden administration for help with their funding?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I mean, the federal government has provided some funding for private schools. I'm sure that there will be more down the pipeline in this latest stimulus package, you know, being discussed, and, you know, will be, you know, hopefully will be passed here, you know, soon. In terms of the state, I'm sure they get funding in the form of, it's sort of more of a pass-through, but they get the funding of financial aid that is provided to students who go to private schools and these sorts of things. So there are other places that, you know, other sorts of sources of funding. I think one of the things we'll likely see is, like I said, is unfortunately, I think we will see that these staffing cuts that were done in the pandemic, many of them will become permanent, unfortunately, and that will help them fill the gap. And then hopefully, you know, the smarter colleges will use this as an opportunity to fundraise, which might be challenging, but fundraising is another place where doing various anniversary, you know, there's these sorts of things are in another place where they can make money. It's tough. I mean, I think there's sort of a more esoteric discussion to have around what has this pandemic reveal about the sort of efficacy of, you know, the sort of traditional college experience and college education. I don't think that'll ever change. I don't think the local colleges or public colleges are never going to convert to sort of University of Phoenix model, where they're fully online, fully remote. There will certainly always be an element of in-person and that traditional college experience. What the pandemic has done is it shines a light as to how actually fragile that dynamic is. If you take the residential element out of it, then they really do struggle. And that's colleges and how higher education as an industry grapples with that in the years coming will be very interesting and something to watch, particularly because for us here in upstate New York, these colleges and universities are the backbone of local economies. They are the best jobs in these communities, whether they be faculty or whether they be building and grounds employees or even in the dining hall. Many of these folks work at these colleges for decades. They send their own, they stay there so they can take advantage of benefits like sending their own kids to school there to get an education and just taking advantage of the otherwise good benefits, healthcare and retirement benefits that are not available in other industries and other jobs. I think we'll see how that develops as the years go forward.
How can the community help organizations like the SEIU?
I mean, I would say one of the things that we have seen as a result of this pandemic is the benefits of being unionized. Even with the shrinking of number of jobs and number of employed, workers nationwide, has shrunk as a result of the pandemic. But as a result of that, the number of workers in the United States who are union members increased. So, which means that they were successful in protecting their jobs and protecting their benefits and their wages and all these things. So even hard hit industries like hospitality, workers at like restaurants and hotels, many of those folks are still not working or still unemployed. Their unions have been able to maintain their benefits, maintain their seniority so that when they do come back to work, that they still have their old job, they still have their old wages, and they still have, despite not working right now, a maintenance of healthcare so that if they get sick or their family gets sick, that they don't have to worry about expensive healthcare bills. To answer your question, I think directly is like the best thing you could do for SEIU or any union would be to organize one, because it's also the best thing you could do for yourself and your coworkers and your family. Like I said before, what we've seen, unfortunately, with this pandemic is employers and management of the various companies saying one thing, these workers are essential, what we would be nothing without their sacrifice and their hard work. But then, nickeling and diming them on this or that, not providing them hazard pay, so on and so forth. And so the best way to put it would be, yes, if the best thing to do for SEIU and for the labor movement would be to join it so that we could push back against, I would say, callous employers who have used this pandemic as an opportunity to trim their own budgets and maintain their profits at the expense of working people.